What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What will my resurrected body be like? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, a pastor serving Ascension, Brandon, and Good Shepherd, Coventry, with a spot of teaching at Westfield House, Cambridge. Our church, the ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, is pretty invisible on the British landscape as a tiny Lutheran church on this island, but not in our local communities, nor it seems in cyberspace, because you have found us. Thanks for listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and on the website, that's www.lutheranradio.co.uk, you will find links to the ELCE and other Lutheran Radio UK programs, and you can also download our church magazine, The British Lutheran. I hope you enjoy the program. What will my resurrected body be like? This question came up in a discussion this week. It is not the first time I've been asked it, or a variation of it. We do have an interest in what life in heaven will be like, what we will be like, and questions about the age of a person at death, or the state of their body at death, and if and how that is somehow transferred to heaven, are often asked. Will my little girl who died always be an infant in heaven? Will my grandfather, who was crippled with arthritis, always be walking with difficulty? The answers given must reflect what the Bible says, and must stay within the parameters of the Bible. Where the Bible speaks, we can speak. Where the Bible is silent, then we would be wise to give the straight answer, I don't know. In this area of questions, many of the answers, particularly to specific questions, must say or be qualified by, I don't know. This doesn't mean that we can't say anything, but we are cautious about letting our hopes or dreams or imaginations or a scene in a film or fears or suppositions or theories get into our answers. So this question must have an answer because we confess as Christians in the Apostles, Nicene and Athanasian creeds that there is a resurrection of the body. We are not disembodied spirits. Our starting point is Jesus and his resurrection. His early appearances after his crucifixion record how Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he wasn't just an apparition. So from Luke chapter 24 we hear, as they were talking about these things, that's the experience of Cleopas and fellow disciple on the road to Emmaus and at the breaking of the bread, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me, and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And the fish didn't fall through him and onto the floor. That's the point. Jesus was physically there. Incidentally, I believe that Mary had grabbed Jesus in the garden and was holding him when he says in John 20, do not cling to me, which has the idea in Greek, do not continue to cling to me, which we might also translate as, stop clinging to me. The reason being that Jesus is reassuring her, I'm not going anywhere, and will be with you always when I've ascended. So that little scene also confirms for me that Jesus physically rose from the dead. But we also know that it isn't that simple. For while Jesus was physically there and present, he also could do things that we don't expect bodies to do, such as suddenly appear in a locked room and, as in the case of the breaking of bread at Emmaus, vanishing. So Jesus, as he is constantly challenging our concepts, think of the teaching that he is truly a human being and also truly God, a 2 = 1 idea, continues to challenge our ideas of biology and physics. But we shouldn't be surprised. Defeating death will do that. Break open the old ways and give us new possibilities, actually new everything. We, however, think very much in terms of time and our 5 senses. So how does the resurrection body fit into our brains, so to speak? With difficulty. The starting point is that our death is linked to Jesus' death, and our new life is linked to Jesus' resurrection. That's how Paul describes baptism, this linking with Jesus. And so in Romans chapter 6 we read, "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God." This new life, because of Jesus, is described as us being like Jesus. And so in Philippians chapter 3 we read, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." When talking with the Christians in Corinth, Paul defends Jesus' resurrection and his teaching on the realities or consequences of the resurrection, and this comprises the whole chapter, chapter 15. Please take time to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul addresses our question, and I want you to note what he says, the type of language he uses, and of course the message therein. Having described Jesus as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in verse 20, he then goes on from verse 36 to say, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat, or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Paul clearly describes the fact of the resurrection and the resurrection of the body. But he also clearly is trying to describe a mystery, and so he uses analogy and metaphor. This is more poetry than scientific precision. Nevertheless, the meaning is clear. Our resurrected bodies are imperishable, glorious or in glory, and have power. Terms we thought shouldn't go together are put together to express this mystery. So we are raised a spiritual body. Previously linked to dust, we are now linked to heaven, that is, to Jesus. As Jesus was identifiable, so we will be identifiable. I am, and always will be, George. And my body will be like Jesus's, with the tension of the spiritual and physical still there. And so I can talk about imperishable, glorious, and power. And leave it there. If pushed about age or state of the body, then I return to these truths. Death no longer reigns, glory and power. Often imaginations are in hyperdrive at this point, and so I can also go to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and the pictures of the heavenly realm is full of bodies, and praise, and worship, and festivities, and standing before God, and refreshment, and wonderful little phrases such as the last words of Revelation chapter 7, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This life with God, because of the Lamb of God, is life in all its fullness. These are the word pictures we bring to answer the question, what will my resurrected body be like? As Jesus was touched and probably hugged on earth when he appeared to people after his death, so our resurrected bodies can be held and hugged as well. Are you thinking of heaven? What that will be like? I'd like now to take that thought and pull it back to earth for a moment. Here and now, in this world, Jesus doesn't physically turn up like he did when he walked on earth, when he was seen and recognized as Jesus. But Jesus is here nonetheless, hidden behind words, water, and especially bread and wine, which he says in Holy Communion is his body and blood. And a person always is where his body and blood are. Lutherans call this the masks of God, and we in our bodies receive him through faith. So at Holy Communion we believe we are being hugged by Jesus, for he is coming to us, into our hearts, so to speak. But the blessings he brings, forgiveness, strengthening of faith, physical healing, are only received through faith. But this all happens in our bodies, now. Of course, it just looks like we're eating a tiny bit of bread and drinking a sip of wine. But because Jesus said so, we believe that he is there, physically, just as he was when he could be seen before his crucifixion. This hidden reality and truth will end when we die or the end of the world happens. But then the masks will no longer be needed, and we will see Jesus face to face with bodies like his. So, by all means, take heart and be excited by the thought of our resurrected bodies. And have your queries and wonderings too. But get really excited that we don't have to wait for Jesus and us to meet physically in this world right now, in our sinful, frail bodies. For he isn't ashamed to come to us now, so that we might live with him always. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.